Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Hey, Advocate.
Good evening, Bumi.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks, and yourself?
I am good too, thank you. Now, let's kick off our segment by me actually putting this out there, all right? While we're busy building our careers and dreaming about our future, there will probably come a time when a little extra money could go a long way. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, I would agree.
Maybe someone is saving for a big purchase like a home or a new car, or maybe they just want to build their savings for investments. Whatever the goal is, I am pretty sure that we can work towards achieving it by looking for creative ways to make more money. And today, I'm going to tap into your brain and ask that you share with us why it seems like for most people, a single stream of income is no longer enough to live a comfortable life. Is this a new thing? Has this been a thing for centuries?
Sure. For me, that is such a difficult one. But I'll firstly start by saying that thank you so much for this incredible opportunity. And I'm really looking forward to having this conversation with you.
Yeah.
Look, the simple answer to your question is that times are tough for everybody.
Yeah.
And I don't think that this is necessarily a new thing. It's mm-hmm. just that for now, it could be at another level. I mean, we recently saw that even the top 1% earners in South Africa are also going through the most. Hence, the Minister of Finance could not proceed tabling his budget of speech due to an alleged rate increase of 2%.
Yeah.
So everybody at this point could really do with more than one stream of income because the reality is even the salaries that we earn are simply not enough.
We ought
to look for more creative and sustainable ways to at least, you know, make an extra living if possible.
Yeah, and I'm happy that you went there because I would really like to know, do you have any ideas of creative, simple and sustainable ways to increase one's income? Because listen, people are already working 9-to-5 jobs. People are tired. So it cannot be something else that brings us to stand all day when we've been standing all days. I remember when my mom was still working, she was working as a presser. So she was ironing clothes at a clothing factory. And even back then she knew, Buti, the vision that I have for my kids and the salary are just not going to cut it. And so she would come back home and make scones to sell to the community and to give us to sell at school or at work or whatever. So what are some creative ways that are simple yet sustainable that we can try out and put to work to increase our income?
Yo, shout out to your mom.
Yay.
I think all of us really do have stories that we can share regarding how our mothers or other elderly people in our families had to step up and really try to make ends meet. You know, there are really more creative and sustainable ideas that we can explore in this day and age. But I must just put a disclaimer that most of them actually do require money. But if people are patient with themselves, they're also willing and open to, you know, just try new things out. They can also make them work. The few creative ideas that I've been exploring at the moment, this is also still a work in process for me. I've been looking at using what I have. Mm. So people can literally sell their time, sell their skill, or sell a product. That is actually the most quickest way to make money, you know, through selling.
Yeah.
You can sell at your workplace, you can sell at school, if you're still a student or a learner, just to find more creative and sustainable ways to make money. A few practical examples would be to go into a business of Ubering if you have a car and you have time on your hands, because there's actually good money there.
Yeah.
Or you can learn a skill like how to do nails and probably open like a small salon, maybe in your house. Obviously, there are like other legal implications and other resources and other avenues that people would have to explore in that regard. But I'm simply advocating that people should try to do their best to use what they have in order for them to, you know, earn an extra income. Because the reality is we work 9 to 5, so we may be limited in terms of having more time on our hands to do other things that are not what we're used to doing on a daily basis.
100%. I always advocate for people to sell their ideas. Well, not like sell your idea and somebody else takes them, but if you've got an idea and you can sell your knowledge, that is really the best way to go, because products only have a certain margin, right? But the things you can do with the with your imagination and serving people using your ideas, that is always the best thing to do. People often think of needing to have assets without realizing that their brain themselves, their skills are really, really great assets and can be valuable out there in the markets. Have you ever had experiences or seen stories of people who have actually used their knowledge to make money?
That's actually how I make a living, just to give a bit of context. So I am a referral advocate, meaning I do not earn salary. So how I make a living, I get to work, or rather conduct work for attorneys who are my clients, and then I get to invoice them after the work that I've completed or that services that I've rendered for them. So I do not have a stable income, right? So hence I'm actually constantly looking for more creative ways to make money. And reality is I sell my time and my skill for a living. You know, if somebody needs legal advice or they need a lawyer to, you know, help them with their legal issue or legal matter, I'm simply that girl. So that's how I, you know, precisely make a living. And in short, I sell a skill, I sell my time, and people actually pay for that. So I do not have like an actual tangible product that I'm selling, but I sell my skill and my time in that regard.
That is so unconventional. I know there are so many lawyers who are sitting at home with their degrees and they haven't thought of doing something like that. I think what you've just done now is really challenge people to say, yeah, you've got the traditional conventional skill. That's fine. You've got the qualification, you've got the degree, but there are so many ways to apply this thing that in everybody else's mind, needs to only follow a certain track. I think that is absolutely brilliant. Were you never a person for corporate, or were you forced into this position?
I've always known earlier on, whilst I was still completing my LLB degree, that I didn't want to go the attorney route. Rather, I've always wanted to be an advocate, and unfortunately, or fortunately, as an advocate, that's how it's set up for us. So all advocates don't have a salary. So you just get into practice, you do your own thing, and you make a living through enforcing. People who earn a salary are attorneys. So for me, I think we can safely say it's something that I got introduced to. Not sure if it was by choice, but I learned to adapt and, you know, just make the best out of it.
Girl, I'm learning something today. I'd always known that there are attorneys and advocates, but I had absolutely no clue what the difference between the two are. And for somebody who's big on career development, this is actually so exciting, because now if I ever get a client that is a lawyer, I'll be like, okay, so are you an attorney or are you an advocate? So that we get the thing going on a very great path. So thank you for teaching us that. Now tell me, you have said that it is a pinch for everybody. Everyone is struggling, the high earners and the low earners. And while we're on that, I saw the other day that the income, the minimum wage is sitting at like 29 rand now. I did the math, Malebogo. That is like 4.6 a month.
It's bad.
What are
it's
people
terrible,
doing
actually.
With 4.6 a month? It is crazy. And so I'd like for you to talk to us about what some of the obvious and less obvious benefits of having multiple income streams are.
The biggest one is definitely flexibility. So because you have this extra income, you are able to use your money how you see fit, right? You're not just limited or restricted to just focus on your basic needs.
Yeah.
There are actually more benefits that people may not even be aware of. Mm. When you have extra income, you are able to be financially stable.
Yep.
There's financial security. Mm. You know, you can also diversify your income.
Mm.
Have savings and a little bit of money for emergency funds, although some may argue that in South Africa, literally every day, there's just an emergency.
Listen.
But really, you know, having extra income will give you that luxury of not relying on one income. Because if you were to lose your job today,
yeah,
maybe the question that we should also pose to your listeners is, what would happen?
What
because we have
happen?
Now gotten into a tradition or culture, maybe not because of our own doing, but that's the reality for most of us, that if we were to not earn a salary for 1 month, our lives would completely change drastically.
For sure.
So having multiple streams of income could easily, you know, help you avoid that and to plan your finances better and also plan for retirement much better.
Mm.
Because another shocking reality is that most people aren't even in a better position to save for retirement because there's just no money for that.
Yeah.
But once you start exploring things like having extra income, then you can, you know, be able to explore all these other avenues and really make the money work for you and not the other way around.
100%, 100%. It is such a sad reality that I can't remember the stat, but it is so high, it is concerning. I'm pretty sure it was like around 70, between 70 and 90% of people in South Africa who cannot afford to retire. That is crazy that there are people who have worked years putting money aside into their pension funds, but when they get to the pension, it's like, yo, go back, because what do you mean? You're not going to survive with this money. So it's so important, because when we do have additional income streams, we're able to get out of debt sooner. We're able to save more for the future, and we're also able to put money aside for our kids for the future so that their funds or their education does not drain us dry.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, what is happening in South Africa, and maybe let's also not just limit it to South Africa, but the world in general is really sad. I mean, we even saw that the fact that a lot of people were even accessing their two-port system, that should tell you everything that you need to know in terms of our finances.
Mm.
A lot of us are really struggling and we are barely surviving.
Yeah.
So if we can find other ways to maybe make a little bit of extra income, I'd really encourage and implore people to do that, because we cannot just focus on one income. That's not working.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable. And in the long run, it's going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
So we might as well just be proactive now and find, you know, these solutions that can help us make more money.
Yeah. You mentioned something earlier that I've thought about for quite a bit. You said that us, particularly in South Africa, are very corporate minded, right? And I think people in America really work like slaves. They really work super hard. But if there's one thing I admire about that culture, it's that it's very entrepreneurial. It doesn't matter how many shows you're watching from America, you'll hear someone say, oh, I'm a bartender and I'm a waiter at night and I'm this and I'm that, because they really realize that the economy isn't great and cost of living is very, very high. So I think there's a great work that needs to be done done in our country. I'm not too privy on what is happening in the rest of the SID regions, but where we can actually get ourselves to be entrepreneurial as well as corporates in order to survive, because it's getting really, really bad.
You know what? I'll just answer your question in this way.
Yeah.
Let's not make it seem like being entrepreneurs is easy.
Oh,
I think if anything, that's even way hard,
let me
because
tell
there
you something.
you don't have any stability, none whatsoever.
It is
months
crazy.
Are usually not the same. Like one moment you're making like your biggest paycheck, life is good, and then you can even go as far as 3 months without having any income,
Yeah.
you know. So I just wanted to clarify that. But
Oh no.
The reason why, you know, most people in South Africa and maybe Africa in general are not really focusing on being entrepreneurs, it's because of the system itself. You know, we are just so used to having a stable income in a form of a salary. So I think I'd understand why a lot of people are not into exploring the entrepreneurial aspect of doing things. And I really do not blame them. I think instead of us focusing on, you know, advocating for people to be entrepreneurs or start their own businesses, I think let's just say people must just really get into the habit of using what they have.
Yeah.
So if you are earning a salary, make it work for you. And if you are an entrepreneur, also make that work for you.
Yep.
You know, the two can coexist very beautifully. It's just that when it comes to corporate or the traditional employment, a lot of people do not have a lot of flexibility, you know, to even explore other avenues, because the moment you get your salary, you're just fully concentrating on paying your bills and you just keep it moving. But whereas with being entrepreneurs, you know that in order for you to make more money, you constantly have to look for new business and new ideas to regenerate that income. So I think, you know, the two can just coexist. Let's not try to also put people under unnecessary pressure. I think it's just okay. Either way, as long as it works for you, that's fine.
I absolutely love that you brought on that view. And listen, I've been a full-time entrepreneur for 2 years, and I can tell you.
Tell me about it.
Woo! The sneep up and flace me. It
it's
is
not.
Incredibly difficult, because when you are at work, you are just that thing, right? If you are a salesperson, you are a salesperson. If you are in HR, you are in HR. If you are admin, you are admin. But when it is your business,
you're literally all of them in one.
You are everything. And the instability, and I can also think that the instability becomes very triggering, because we know instability as a nation, as Africans, we know instability, and anything we can do to run away from that instability, we're going to choose that. And I'm so glad that you reeled me in to say, yo, are you sure that you want people to be entrepreneurs? Because in all truth, I think what I really wanted to say was that people need to start exploring portfolio careers. And I think one of these good days, maybe even in this week, I'll speak to my producer. We can have a show that speaks to portfolio careers, where somebody can be a dog walker, as well as a barista, as well as an admin person at a corporate, and still sell clothes online. You know, you don't have to pick a path. You can just do them all, of course, using your time wisely and apportioning your energy into the different things. But I absolutely love that you are just like, yo, 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 let's get real, because these streets ain't loyal. All right, I've got probably two more questions for you before I let you go. But what I do want to know is, with all this advocating for making more money and increasing your income streams, are we not going to burn out, girl? Is this not going to lead us to a point of crashing? Because at what point is enough enough?
Look, is enough ever enough, though? I think let's start, because we're constantly, you know, trying
enough
to find ways to attain more. But in order for us to, you know, focus on not burning out, I think the answer is simply yes and no, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
people can do this without burning out if they set intentional boundaries, all right? If you are already doing something that you're passionate about and that you love, because it's something that you actually really enjoy doing, I don't foresee you burning out in that sense. However, you need to be intentional about it. If you need to take a break, please do that. But you also need to make sure that you have clear goals and targets that you can easily meet. And obviously, if you do the opposite of that, then the answer would be no. If, for example, one is already indebted, I mean, they do not have a luxury of taking breaks, because life is demanding like that. You know, you can't just put things on hold or in a pause because they do not have these luxuries or alternatives of working for short hours, you know. So I think it's a combination of both, depending on how you view it. But in order for people to avoid burnout, they should, one, do what they like doing or what they enjoy doing rather. And two, they should have clear goals, you know, and objectives or targets in terms of what they are truly looking to achieve, you know. And if you do not have intentional, I mean, rather, if you're not intentional in setting boundaries, you can easily, you know, be burnt out. And that's a reality for most of us as young people. We work a lot and we hardly rest because we do not have that luxury of resting whilst we're still trying to, you know, build our profile and our career. But in order for people to avoid that from happening, just, you know, have intentional boundaries that are clear to you and that speak to also what you're trying to achieve. And not just from a financial perspective, but in life in general. I think that is super helpful and it will help you navigate through life more swiftly.
Yeah, that is absolutely insightful. I don't know if you've done a study on this or you have made observations, but have you actually found out or do you know which other income streams or which ideas people in our region, in the SID region, can actually take up that are proving to be lucrative? So what are the things that people are doing that are really generating good income for them that don't take a lot from them? Or maybe let me not even try to find a shortcut, because in order for you to make passive income, it first needs to be active. But also, if you really want to make good money, you have to work. So have you any idea what ideas people have put out there, or what ventures they've gotten into that are really making them good money in our SID region?
I think the easiest way to make money now in the SID region is to make money online. Most of us, maybe let me just speak to my young people, because I'm most of us are on social media, but do we really use it to the best of our advantage? Maybe not.
We don't.
But the easiest way people can make money is online. You can teach English. A lot of people are doing that, and there's good money there, I'm told. But it's not something that explored already, but I've heard about it. People are also going into tutoring. And not just for like your math and your science, but a lot of people really need assistance. So if you can also venture into that, maybe as a young person to just add like an extra income, you can consider tutoring people online, or even better, in your community, because there are various schools there in your community which could probably use your assistance, and you could, you know, charge the learners a fee for that, so you don't really have to do it free of charge. And there's also this new thing, I don't know if it's new, but I've only learned about it recently, AU pairing, where you simply do like duties that parents are not able to do because they probably work 9 to 5, so you can assist with, you know, helping their kids do their homeworks, babysitting. It entails a lot of duties and responsibilities there. But for more information, people can just, you know, look it up on the internet and really find out more what it's all about. And the most easiest way also is to make money through social media. Now you can actually get paid for you to be on Instagram or on TikTok. You know, obviously you'd need to have a certain number of followers or friends, whomever you call it, depending on the platform that you're using. But because of the number that you post and when people engage your contact, you can generate revenue. And the nicest thing about it, like when you look at platforms like YouTube, it's actually passive income. You don't actually have to do the work every day, but you can still earn an income if your videos are obviously gaining traction and there's a lot of engagement. So there's really a lot of ways that people can try, to explore in order for them to make money. People must just not limit or restrict themselves to like the traditional way of making money, because I don't think that is quite useful in this day and age.
I absolutely love that. What you're essentially saying is the assets are in the tip of our fingers and right above our ears. If we can use what we have, we will be a far ways off than just doing nothing and depending on somebody to pay us only, instead of being creative and resourceful as well.
Most definitely.
Yeah, one last question that I have for you is, what are some mistakes people are making that are driving them further into financial problems, even with the little that they have?
The biggest one, I think we all know this, is living beyond your means.
Ooh, child.
And I understand because of pressure on social media and, how we have these expensive lifestyles, but the biggest one is people living way beyond their means and not understanding what money is supposed to be used for. And I know I've also been a victim of this, but I'm trying to, rectify my mistakes, because when we're young, we think we can simply get away with things because we still have time. But the reality is, we really do not have time, because yes, it's good, it's cute that you're still in your 20s and maybe early 30s. But before you know it, retirement is knocking and you haven't been saving or, putting money aside to work. So I think the greatest takeaway from this is for people to learn how to use their money effectively and efficiently and try. Emphasis on try to live way beyond their means, because I understand that it can be difficult at times, because look, you're also trying to chop life. You're young, like I said, you are bound to want to explore and experiment, but where possible, try to, live way beyond your means. I think that is the most wonderful and brilliant financial advice that people can implement in their lives if you can just live way beyond your means.
Now listen. I love plugging people, all right? I love making sure that people get their worth out of any experience. You just told us that you aren't formally employed or officially employed and that you work on a referral basis. Girl, please put yourself on. Tell us what law you practice, who your clients are, and if there's anybody in this region listening to the show today and they want your services, they can easily go, yo, who's that girl? And we say that is Malibogo Mashishi, and she is your girl. So let us know what you do, where we can find you, and how you can be of service to the people of the Southern Indian Ocean Division.
Oh wow, thank you so much for that, Mpumi. In short, like you've said, I am Malebogo Mashishi. I am an admitted advocate of the High Court in the Republic of South Africa.
Yes.
I am currently in my almost first year of practice as an advocate. And the reason why I said I'm a referral advocate, so the general, which is something that I need to clarify. So the public can't generally approach me. They would need to go via an attorney. So if you need to use my services, either you have like a legal issue, you'd have to first go via an attorney who would then brief me. That's the process that we use for referral advocates. I am with the Pretoria Society of Advocates in Pretoria, with chambers at Circle Chambers in Brooklyn. For any further details, people are more than welcome to check me out on LinkedIn. It's at Malebogo Faith Mashishi. On Facebook, Malebogo Faith Mashishi. And on Instagram is at Malebogo FM. So I am a general practitioner, so everything that requires a lawyer to do, but I also have a keen interest in human rights law, and I obtained my Master of Laws in that aspect, or rather area of the law.
I absolutely love that. Are you Malebogo FM because you talk too much? Because, girl, have you met yourself?
I think my parents were onto something.
Something.
It's
Oh,
really not a
my.
mistake.
It was such a pleasure having you here. I pray that you get clients galore because I know the entrepreneurial life, girl, it is hectic. Any referral, any work that is right up your alley counts and goes a long way. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us, your expertise with us, and thank you for giving us your time. We really loved having you here. If there's anything that I haven't asked you that you're just like, Mpumi, I need the people to know, please use this next 1 or 2 minutes to really get that out. And we will bid you farewell and wish you a beautiful night ahead.
No, I think we have pretty much covered everything. I just wanted to say thank you so much for this opportunity once again. And I really wish people all the best. May we learn to make better choices, so that the money can work for us and not the other way around. We, in most cases, think that we have time, like I said, but the reality is we do not have. So let's start, making wise decisions so that we don't get into the trap of, or rather the trap of, getting indebted.
You are the girl you think you are. Thank you so much for this chat. I hope we can chat again next time. Cheers.
Thank you so much. It's been such a great pleasure.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.